And with that, that takes us out of the finalizations. Thank you, commissioners. We'll now move back into our proposals. We will pick back up at number 12, elk hunting seasons.
Good afternoon again, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, Andrew Norton, Wildlife Program Administrator. What I'd like to start with before we get into the elk proposals is Andy Lindblom would be providing a presentation. And really quickly before then, Commissioner Cole asked about the mentored and youth harvest East River that was just under 3,000 animals. And then for those 12 counties where the recommendation is to reduce licenses by 700, 685 deer were harvested. Those were all whitetails, and the vast majority of them were females, being an antlerless only. So about 57 does per unit.
And that's the three license types.
That one was just mentored and youth, so apprentice was excluded from that.
Perfect. Thanks.
You ready? Okay. Well, good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling. My name is Andy Lindblom. I'm a senior big game biologist out of Rapid City. And yeah, today I'm here to provide some updates, some background information on elk populations in the state for you as a commission as you evaluate your elk season recommendations in front of you. So what I want to go over today are, first I'll start off with our biological surveys, talk about some of the data we have on elk in the state. Then I want to talk about our population objectives and management strategies. I have a red asterisk by this one and a few other things. I just want to clarify that the objectives and strategies that I'm talking about today, these are from our elk action plan that is currently in existence, the one that goes up through 2026. These do not include any of the new strategies that are in the revision out there that, of course, you as a commission have not adopted yet. So just to clarify, this is the existing plan right now that's in the books. Then I want to talk about real briefly our hunting season recommendations. Of course, Andrew will go into the details on those and then end with our population projections. So the first one I want to talk about are our harvest surveys. Every single elk hunter that hunts in South Dakota does get a survey. We usually get about 60 to 80% response rates depending on the season. But overall, we have a really good data set on elk harvest in South Dakota. We do survey all of our hunters, like I said. In addition, if you're lucky enough to hunt in South Dakota and harvest an animal, there is a mandatory 24-hour check. You need to check that animal in to Game Fish and Park staff member. One of our offices, or we do have about half a dozen check stations or so throughout the Black Hills for hunter convenience. They can check them in there. And this is where we get our information on harvest age data that I'll talk about today. But we get that from the tooth front incisors on the elk jaw. And we send these teeth off to a laboratory in Montana. It's called the Matson's Laboratory. And that's basically their business. That's what they do, is they age teeth. Not only elk, but a lot of other species as well. So we get a really good, consistent data set. So looking at total elk harvest in the Black Hills, this would be for all of our units in addition to Custer State Park. Last year, we did, you can see the harvest bumped up substantially there. Overall, total harvest was about 1,320 elk. That was as intended. As you recall, we did increase licenses quite a bit. Of that total harvest, about 702 were cows and 618 were bulls. And as you can probably see, bulls there are the blue line, cows are the red, total of the green bars. But that was about the second highest bull harvest we've had in history. So a lot of great bull hunting opportunity out there last year. Next, I want to talk about our prairie harvest. We did see also an increase in prairie harvest. We do continue to see populations out on the prairie grow, as well as harvest opportunity. There is a lot of demand for a very limited resource out there. You can see here total harvest was about 184 last year, of which about 82 were cows and 103 bulls. And so looking a little deeper at some of our harvest, this is our harvest age. So this is the age of the bulls that were harvested in the Black Hills. In our current management plan, we do have an objective. The goal is in our plan that 60% of our bulls will be 4 years of age or older. So that's, you can see here on the graph, that's that green line. That's our goal that we're shooting for. So you can look at our bull harvest age. Custer State Park is blue. Our Black Hills is red there. You can see we're slowly beginning to get closer and closer to our harvest goal. Last year, 2025, I believe we were about 97% of our Custer State Park bulls were 4 years of age or older. And we're at about 72% for the Black Hills. So we are getting closer, but not quite there yet. Another management strategy that we have in our current plan is for firearm hunter success. Now, this is for the folks that are lucky enough to draw a bull license. So this is for those any elk licenses. And we have a minimum success threshold of 75% hunter success for those folks. And again, you can see that objective there, the green line, that 75%, where Custer State Park in blue and the Black Hills are falling out over the past 5 years here. You can see last year and the year before for Black Hills, we're getting really close to that success objective. I do want to note in the revised plan that you as a commission are considering right now, we have removed this management strategy, which would allow for additional bull licenses if the commission so desired. Next survey I want to talk about is our fall herd composition survey. This is a survey that we do from the ground in August, and this is where we get our age and sex ratios for the elk herd. So our age ratio provides us an estimate of recruitment. And our estimate of recruitment last year, 2025, was 47 calves per 100 cows, and that is right on par with our long-term average of 47. Been a really good sample size last year. We staff classified over 2,000 elk, so we had some really good data here. Our bull ratio last year was 22 bulls per 100 cows, which as you can see is lower than the long-term average of 26. We also have some great information on adult cow survival in the Black Hills, and this is a really important metric for evaluating our elk herds and predicting herd growth. You can see the sample sizes we have here the last 3 years. These are the number of adult cows that we have captured with helicopters and radio collared with GPS collars. So overall, we're sitting at over 260 cow elk out there that we've captured and radio collared and really providing us some great information on adult cow survival. Now, this is part of a larger effort. We currently happen to have a research project going on. Some of the primary objectives are to look at cow survival and the impacts of chronic wasting disease across different herds in the hills. We have some other objectives as well, but those are the primary ones. This is really, I need to mention, this is a collaborative effort. It does cost a lot of money to helicopter capture these animals and put GPS collars on them. And we've had a lot of different funding sources. Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation has really stepped up to the table here and provided some great funding for captures and radio collars, as well as USDA APHIS and the Chronic Wasting Disease Alliance. They've provided some great funding for some of the disease aspects of this study. Now, the next survey I want to talk about is our aerial survey. As some of you may recall, we just did our aerial survey in 2025. This is the fourth year that we've done a complete aerial survey in the Black Hills. You can see we started this in 2013. You can see the years that we've done it. So we have a great data set on elk abundance across the hills. And this gives us a winter elk abundance estimate and a winter distribution for what those elk are doing in the wintertime in the Black Hills. And you can see this map here is it's a thunderstorm map. It kind of shows you the hot spots of where we counted elk last winter in 2025. And our estimate that we had in 2025 for the Black Hills was about 7,900. And in Custer State Park was about 760. So putting it all together, we take our survey data. We also incorporate some research data that we're currently collecting and some previous research in the Black Hills. We put that into our population model, and this allows us to project abundance and growth rates of elk in the Black Hills, which ultimately allows us to recommend license allocation in order to meet our population objectives. So let's talk about what some of those objectives are. Now, these are winter elk objectives for the Black Hills. Our objective currently right now, again, in the plan as it is 6,000 to 8,000. And in Custer State Park is 500 to 600. And you can see the map here that kind of shows the direction of where we want to take those elk herds and those different units based on our overall objectives. And you can see overall we're at a maintained status right now, with the exception of Unit 5. We'd like a few more elk, and some of the eastern range there, we would our desire is to have a few less elk, basically. There we go. Now, managing elk on the prairie is a little bit of a different strategy. As you all know, a lot more private land, a lot more agriculture on the prairie, and really a lot less elk habitat. For the most part, you can see here for West River, a WRA area, our objective is to manage for low elk density. Basically, our objective is to minimize agricultural conflicts. The exception would be Harding County. Harding County, we do have some more elk habitat there. We do have more public land there. And so we do work closely with the landowners up there on what direction we want to take those elk herds up there in Harding County. But you do have some recommendations in front of you today. Overall, we are recommending some increases in any elk and antlerless elk licenses. And we are also recommending to provide landowner-owned land license opportunity in all of our prairie elk units in the West River area. Now, East River area, this is new. This would be a recommendation again. We are recommending a unit that would basically have no objective. Our objective would be no elk, and to prevent the establishment of elk populations. Very limited elk habitat, East River, South Dakota. A lot of agriculture, a lot of room for agricultural conflicts. And so we are recommending to establish this unit and to have unlimited licenses. These would be any elk licenses, and also to allow, if a landowner so desired, to have a landowner-owned land license. And so just to wrap up overall, for our recommendations this year in the Black Hills, again, we want to maintain our population. In order to do that, we do need to back off on antlerless licenses. We're recommending almost a 40% decrease. Now, last year, we did recommend an increase in order to stop that growth. Mission accomplished, we did stop that growth, but we need to back off there now if we want to maintain that population. We are exceeding our bull age structure and success objectives, so we are recommending some slight increases in any elk licenses as well. Custer State Park, we are above that 500 to 600 objective. So we are recommending adding some antlerless licenses, 50 in Custer State Park. And again, we're exceeding some of our bull age structure objectives, and therefore you're gonna see a recommendation to increase any elk licenses there by 43%. Just to give you an idea of what this looks like, when you look back historically in the Black Hills on license types, these are our antlerless licenses, they're our cow licenses. In red there, that's what we're recommending. You can see the average there is at that bar. So we are just slightly above or below average. We're recommending 815 licenses, and our overall long-term average would be about 865. And then for any elk licenses, our recommendation is 942 in red there. And you can see that is quite a bit above our overall long-term average. And the last thing I want to talk about is, based on these recommendations, what would we expect for population growth in the Black Hills? So for in the Black Hills, our objective, again, 6,000 to 8,000, we expect to maintain that objective and be within that objective. Our projection for this winter, 2026, is about 7,800 elk. And with this recommendation in front of you, we'd expect that population to grow very minimally, maybe 1%. For Custer State Park, above objective, our projection is about 780 elk right now. We're not going to get down to objective in the next few years, but with this recommendation in front of you, we would expect to start heading in that direction with about a 5% annual decrease. That's a quick overview of some of our elk data and an overview of our recommendation. With that, I'll wrap it up for questions or discussion.
Very good. Any questions? Commissioner Spring.
On your, have you done any flying and counting on the Cheyenne River elk herd at all? Have any good count on how many are there?
To the chair, Commissioner Spring. No, we do not. We have not flown or surveyed our elk herds, with the exception of 1 year. We did try to do that up in Hardin County, but no, we do not have any aerial estimates for the Cheyenne River.
I've heard how they've spread east a lot farther, and they're getting to be a lot more. I have a lease on the Cheyenne River, and I know there's a lot right in that area, and I just wondered. I foresee that to be kind of a big problem with them spreading like that, being more. Is there any plans on trying to control them better? I know it's mostly private land. That's probably pretty tough.
Yeah, Mr. Spring, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, our objective is for low elk density, and our objective is to provide as many antlers licenses as we can get in the hands of hunters and that we can get access for. And that is the challenge on private property in dealing with elk, is getting that access. We know that elk is growing. We know we have some elk down in the Bad River area as well. And, you know, if we can get more access, we will provide more licenses for as many landowners that want licenses and can handle hunters. So, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. Is really a big challenge that we're going to deal with, and a lot of states in the West deal with it as well. We just need more access to control that elk.
With the Custer State Park herd, is there a reason you don't want to get above 600 or so elk there? I mean, back in the 80s, they sold up to 60 bull licenses in there, and there was 1,000 to 1,200 head. Has the buffalo taken over more of the habitat, or what's the reason on that?
The chair. Commissioner Spring, I can't comment on the buffalo herd management. I definitely don't get involved with that. But if you look at the elk densities in Custer State Park compared with the rest of the hills, we're still way above when you look at elk per square mile. So we're just trying to bring that down a little bit. It is one of the highest areas in the hills we have as far as chronic wasting disease prevalence goes. So we do feel it's a responsible thing to do to try and keep that density a little bit lower. It's still way above what our Black Hills elk would be. I don't remember what the density was exactly, but if I go back to this graph here, you can see here, we're still at that objective. We're still at 4.5 to 5.5 elk per square mile compared to the rest of the hills, which is about half of that. But yeah, probably could have a lot more like we did before, but that is our current stated objective.
Now with that chronic wasting, is it, what kind of percentage are you losing in the park? You're saying it was bad there?
Through the chair, that is the reason for the research. And we're on our third year of capture here, so I really don't have data to present to you, so I don't want to speculate too much. But what we do know is it's one of the highest areas. It is our highest elk unit as far as chronic wasting disease. But that is something we're going to quantify through this research project. So we're going to look at what the disease prevalence is, but we're also going to equate that back to cow survival. So just like you asked, those are the questions we want to know too, what percent of our cows are actually dying because of chronic wasting disease. So fortunately, I don't have an answer for you today, but all I can say is stay tuned, because we have a lot of data we're getting on that topic right there.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, very good. Thank you. Any additional questions from the commission? I do have a question for you, Andrew. The new proposed unit, East River, how is that going to work? I mean, you understand.
I'll maybe take a stab at this. Maybe Andrew has a better idea than I do. But you can see our unit boundary there. Basically, it's the entire East River with the exclusion of Crow Creek Sioux Tribe Reservation. And what you have in front of you is just an unlimited any elk license opportunity if someone so chooses to buy a license there. And also land on rural land would have an opportunity as well.
Okay. So I'm going to follow up on that. So we have a lone elk that's on somebody's farmland. They can then apply and have the ability to harvest that elk. That's kind of what we're talking about.
Correct. It would be basically over the counter. Obviously, if they already had an elk license, they wouldn't be eligible that year to get one.
Okay.
So there are some of those restrictions. But yeah, we really don't have any established elk herds. We do, like you mentioned, get occasional lone elk, and this would provide an opportunity for somebody to harvest that.
Okay. Okay. Commissioner Teal.
Commissioner Teal, if I could piggyback off of that, is there, I guess, to me, I'm not seeing the purpose of the landowner on own land tag if there's a tag available for the whole state, or would it be less expensive to that landowner? Would that be the benefit to it?
Through the chair. Yeah, Commissioner Teal, you're spot on. We had that exact conversation. Yeah. Not sure it's 100% needed, but it would be a reduced price license, and that a landowner would have an opportunity if they felt the elk was going to stay on their property to do that.
Got it. Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission or comments? Seeing none, very good information. Thank you. All right. Back to you, sir.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Andrew Norton, Wildlife Program Administrator. Thank you, Andy, for that presentation. He did a ton of the legwork for me here. I do have 7 action sheets to go through. I believe there's only 3 that recommend action. That would be the application for license, the Custer State Park special antler list, and then the prairie. And then the last bit will be the administrative action for next month with the license numbers that were proposed that Andy discussed. So I will jump right into the application for license, and this is timely given the questions regarding landowner on land. So that license is a reduced fee, half price, similar to landowner preference. Those licenses are half price. The individual has to own or lease 240 acres and live on, or if they're a family member, immediate family member, be on the property or nearest town to that family member on the landowner on land property. So this first one with application for license, this recommendation here is to simplify the prairie landowner-owned land, resident-only antlerless elk hunting opportunities on their own land, so there's not that 500 elk you stay requirement. You'd obviously have to kill an elk on your property, so there'd have to be elk there for it to be effective. As we've said oftentimes before, Secretary Roebling, Director Kirschman, a crawl, walk, run approach. This was initiated 2 years ago. We started with a handful of counties on the prairie, just wanted to be cautious going into it. The next year, which would have been last year, moved in, added a few more units on the prairie. And now the recommendation before you is to basically remove any specific reference to units on the prairie and say, this landowner on land license is available throughout any prairie unit that's open for elk hunting. So that would be anywhere outside the Black Hills, an individual that meets the qualifications could get a half-price landowner-owned land, resident-only antlerless elk license. So the new counties or units that would be added would be Prairie 15A, just north of the Black Hills, on Butte and Lawrence County, and then Prairie Unit 49A, mostly on Meade County, just north of the Black Hills. And then this new proposed unit that I'll get to in the prairie chapter would be the East River area. The harvest on those, the first year was 36 antlerless elk. The second year was 69 when we expanded it. So we're not seeing a huge amount of harvest. Compare that to overall prairie harvest for antlerless elk was 78 the first year and 83. So it exceeded the landowner harvest. So with that, there would be a recommendation to make the modification to strike any reference in this application for license for prairie landowner-owned land to reference any specific unit. It would be open on any open prairie unit described in chapter 4106-59. With that, can take any questions or would recommend, if the commission agrees, to move forward and adopt this as a proposal.
Yes, that is correct.
We are, if you did not hear that, we are on 410601. That is the item we will be taking action on. Any questions from the commission? Seeing none, we do need to take action on this, so we do need a motion and a second. Moved by Commissioner Cole.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Bartley. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? So it is adopted.
All right, so thank you, Madam Chair. I'll move through maybe the next four before I'll take any comments, and that'll be Black Hills Firearm, Black Hills Archery, Custer State Park Firearm, Custer State Park Archery. The reason being, there's no recommended action on them, and they are relatively straightforward seasons as far as the season date. So Black Hills Firearm hunting season, no recommended action. This is our, at least for bull hunting opportunity, occurs in October, so it gets the second half or tail end of the rut there. And then the antlerless seasons occur after the peak of the rut has kind of died down, beginning middle of October, and they're split out to spread our hunter density throughout the Black Hills. No recommended change to that season, but as I mentioned, when we get into the administrative action recommendation, there will be recommendations for license number changes. And if we move forward to the next section is archery Black Hills hunting season. It's also mentioned, I didn't go through the specific units or season dates or anything like that in specificity. Again, they're in the action sheet if you'd want to look those up, or certainly happy to answer questions. So for archery Black Hills, this is excluding Custer State Park, is September. So this season captures the beginning and the first half of the rut. Archery licenses currently allocated at 25% of the firearm licenses and 10% of the antlerless firearm licenses. So much lower hunter density. That's, as Andy mentioned, one of the things that would change. But the current recommendation follows the previous action plan that has a 25% of the NEL firearm licenses. So much lower density. No recommended changes to archery Black Hills. Custer State Park, a different season. Important to note that each one of these seasons are independent in that there's a 9-year wait if you don't qualify for landowner preference until you can get a license again in the Black Hills, but your eligibility for Black Hills archery doesn't affect firearm. So someone technically could get those licenses independently. You just can't get them in the same year. You're only limited to one license per individual. Custer State Park, really the only difference in that season is this is truly a once-in-a-lifetime license. You draw it at least for the any elk license. You cannot draw it again. Highly sought after, over a 40-year wait. It's comparable to our bighorn sheep success odds. Black Hills is a little bit higher success, but that's still almost a 20-year wait for some of the desirable units. Custer State Park firearm matches Black Hills firearm dates the month of October. A little bit more limited opportunity, and as Andy mentioned, a lot higher age structure and probably higher density of bulls in Custer State Park. Probably the reason for the longer wait time, a more sought after license. Moving on to 410628, Custer State Park, early archery hunting season. That's the month of September, exactly the same as the Black Hills archery hunting season. No recommended changes for that. And again, all of the information, historic harvest is included in the action sheets, all for reference. And the next item would be special Custer State Park antlerless, which there is a change, but I can pause here. I know I went through those four seasons relatively quickly, but we did cover this last year, and in fact, the year before as well. So I didn't want to dwell on those knowing we still have quite a number of action items to get through.
I appreciate that. Let's see if we do have any questions, especially from our newer commissioners. Any questions? We feel comfortable moving forward? Very good.
Thank you. Okay, so the change to special Custer State Park antlerless elk hunting season. This one isn't a once-in-a-lifetime. This matches the Black Hills, where if you draw this license, there's no landowner preference here, being all public. It's a 9-year wait where you're not eligible. And probably the easiest is to move to table one. I believe it's on the second page, and I can just summarize the historic harvest. So since 2019, this season has been closed. So we may have reviewed this chapter, but there would have been no changes and the season would not have been open. Historically, it was restricted to a smaller portion of Custer State Park to address some specific herds. What our recommended change is here to open the season back up, to change it completely, to parallel more of what like a typical antlerless hunt is, and specifically what the antlerless hunt is in Unit 4, the Black Hills unit immediately adjacent to it to the east. With our telemetry data that Andy referenced, there's a lot of elk that we see that definitely are going back and forth from Unit 4 in Custer State Park. When Andy put up the map of objectives, both of those areas, the objective is to reduce elk numbers. So what we historically run into challenges with in Unit 4, mostly private east of Custer State Park, there'll be heavy hunting pressure, and those elk will either move to sanctuaries within Unit 4 where they can't be hunted, or they'll move back into the park and they can't be hunted. So the desire here is to open the season up, all of Custer State Park, and have those dates match exactly what Unit 4 is. So if the deer move from Unit 4 and go west into the park, they're still open to be harvested by hunters with this special Custer State Park antlerless license. Those dates are the second half of October, October 15th through the 31st, and then the first half of December, December 1 to the 16th. Even though there's some overlap with any elk harvest, the vast majority of that occurs in the first half of October. Very high success. We usually see only one. This past year, we increased licenses. I think there were three unsuccessful hunters. So very high success, and a lot of that occurs in the beginning part of October. So this one would have some recommended action in draft administrative rules 4106, 4701, 2, 6, 7, and 8. A lot of that is to repeal the previous language for this special season, making it just a subunit within Custer State Park, and it's simply all of Custer State Park, and we specify the season dates, and then we use administrative action to make a recommendation on the license numbers. But if the commission agrees with this recommendation, this would open up the ability to specify the unit boundary and the season dates for Custer State Park special antlerless season. I can take any questions on that, or again, would have a recommendation to move forward.
This one, right? 0647.
Correct. Yep. 4106. Yes. Any questions for Andrew? Seeing no questions, we do need to take action on this.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve by Commissioner Lever. Seconded by Commissioner Cole. Comments on that motion?
Question
from Commissioner Bartman.
I apologize. Thank you, though. Andrew, in the rule change, it's going to change it from 20 to 100.
Correct.
Is that just for the 1 year? Or who's going to have a couple year span? Or what's the thought process?
Through the chair. Thank you, Commissioner Bartling, for clarifying that. I didn't specify that in administrative rule. That's just a maximum cap. So we have that. For example, West River deer will have several thousand is the cap. But then we go into administrative action and we have the exact license number. Off the top of my head, we'll get to it in a couple of sheets here, but I think it's 50 that's going to be recommended for that specific unit. And that would be a 2 year recommendation.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner. We do have a motion to approve. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? So it is approved.
Thank you. So last elk hunting season, then move into the administrative actions, just more information for those. This one would also require action. The prairie elk hunting season, as Andy mentioned and as was discussed, the elk are expanding, and we want to manage those populations at the level that the landowners will tolerate them. So we want to provide them opportunity in addition to the public. So we've been expanding that season. Changes from last year, so if we move down, we're in 4106-59 prairie elk hunting season. Move down to changes from last year. First change, to simply put it, what we are recommending is to align all prairie elk hunting season dates to be September 1 to December 31st. We changed a few last year. There were still a few units in Bennett County, Harding County, Meade County, and then this potentially new proposed East River area that had different dates. Staff have met with landowners in those units. They're comfortable with expanding the dates from September 1 all the way to December 31, and this really cleans up the regulations on the prairie with one consistent date for any elk licenses as well as antlerless elk licenses. The second change would be to create that new unit that is going to be called PRE-ERA. That would be an unlimited number of any elk licenses that will be recommended in administrative action. And that unit would include all east of the Missouri River in South Dakota, excluding the Crow Creek Reservation. And the third change from last year is to allow an unlimited number of any elk licenses for that East River area, specify those season dates, again, being September 1 to December 31. Probably the easiest way to look at it is figure 1, 2, and table 1 show the new unit, as well as the changes to the season dates and all those prairie units. With that, the commission supports the changes to the draft administrative rules. Again, we'd ask to move forward with approving that as a proposal for the next 30 days for public comment.
Any questions from the commission? And for comments? Seeing none, we do need to take action to move forward.
Move to approve.
Move to approve by second. Commissioner Whitmire, seconded by Commissioner Spring. Questions on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? It is approved. It will move forward for finalization in April. Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So moving into the two administrative action items, these are the license numbers for the first one is Black Hills and Custer State Park elk hunting seasons. The second one will be for the prairie. If the first two pages are just referencing the units again, but the third page has the tables of the proposed changes. The left column is 2026, what the licenses were last year. As Andy mentioned, it was an increase to antlerless licenses to ensure that we stayed under that objective cap of 8,000. The right column would be the recommended licenses for the next two hunting seasons. I will say that these are more preliminary. Staff have very quickly gone through some of the harvest data and some of the modeling data, and they hope to review that more intensively the next 30 days. But hopefully they're relatively close to what the proposal would be based on those projected model estimates of a 1% growth in the Black Hills and a reduction of elk in Custer State Park. Black Hills were right below population objective of 8,000 if the plan doesn't change. Custer State Park were well above that objective of 500 to 600. So just a summary of how those license numbers would change. There'd be a 17% decrease overall. The vast majority of that is occurring with antlerless elk licenses, decreased by 520 for all of the Black Hills. And then in all other areas and other license type, there'll be an increase in increase in any elk licenses by 80 for all of the Black Hills and 15 for Custer State Park. So that was aimed at getting more opportunity for these hunters that wait 17, 20, 40 years for some of these licenses. And then moving closer to that objective established in the elk plan. Currently, we have those two objectives, 60% of elk, 4.5 and older, and 75% success rate on the any elk tags. We're exceeding that. We've been historically exceeding that. So increasing those licenses would move closer to that objective and create some more opportunity. We closely monitor that every year, and with the new change to the plan, maybe removing that success so we can just focus on the age structure of polls. With that, can take any questions on the recommendations that would take administrative action next month. But for right now, just that decrease in antlerless elk licenses in the Black Hills and an increase in all other licenses, any elk in the Black Hills and Custer State Park.
Any questions? Again, we'll take action on this in April. Seeing no questions, we can move on.
Thank you. On to the prairie. So this is essentially statewide outside the Black Hills, excluding Crow Creek Sioux reservation boundary. And the proposed change here is to, again, expand hunting opportunity, as you took action earlier, was to allow landowner-owned land licenses all throughout the prairie. But there's also a recommendation here to increase any elk licenses by 22. That would be a 16% increase. and increase antlerless elk licenses by 40, which would be a 14% increase. We do probably believe there's a lot more opportunity in a lot of areas on the prairie, especially WRA, but Andy mentioned access is a limiting factor. So we really don't want to recommend a lot of licenses where there's limited access, especially when these licenses are tough to get and they're relatively expensive. So while we do recommend an increase, it's not doubling or anything crazy like that. So can take any questions on prairie elk hunting season licenses.
Any questions for Andrew? No questions. All right. Very good. That was a lot to go through. A few of these we'll handle when we meet again in April. Thank you for all the details and sorting it out for us.